And thank you for joining us here today for another episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, it's a long-running affair, but U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai insists that Brazil is taking seriously U.S. efforts to get it to ease its protectionist tariffs on American ethanol. Where's the relief? One Midwest senator asked, pointing out Brazil's increased its duties on imported ethanol this year from 16 to 18% while sending its ethanol here tariff-free. U.S. Trade Ambassador Catherine Tai says she is in active talks with the Brazilians.
We are in coordination with USDA, including at political levels, actively engaging with our counterparts in Brazil on market access barriers to U.S. ethanol, including those tariffs and regulatory barriers that you're talking about.
Brazil reimposed its tariff on imported U.S. ethanol early last year. 10 senators wrote President Biden to oppose the move in face-to-face talks with Brazil's president. Some charge he never raised the issue. Tai insists she's now raising it directly.
My latest engagement with my Brazilian counterpart, which happened about a month and a half ago, the Brazilians indicated to us that they understood at all levels, including from the White House, the prioritization of this issue with them, how important it is to us and our economy, and their desire to find a way to accommodate this priority.
Tai's office is part of the executive branch, and she sits on the president's cabinet. Brazil suspended its original 20% ethanol import tariff for January last year, but before and since then has sought to protect its market. The issue, heating up in an election year, is one of many trade fights the U.S. is waging, including against Mexico's GMO corn ban and Canada's limits on U.S. dairy imports. Well, the U.S. agricultural industry is entering the growing season, which means things will get busy. The National Agricultural Aviation Association is asking all uncrewed aircraft system operators or drones to be mindful of low-altitude crewed or manned agricultural aircraft operations. Agricultural vehicles treat 127 million acres of cropland in the U.S. each year to help farmers increase productivity and protect their crops, in addition to pasture land, rangeland, and forestry. UAS are not allowed above 400 feet without a waiver from the Federal Aviation Administration, and manned agricultural aircraft fly as low as 10 feet off the ground when making an application. This means they share the low-altitude space with many drones. Andrew Moore, CEO of the National Ag Aviation Association, says, quote, "With the growing number of uncrewed aircraft operations over the last few years, it's critical for their operators to be aware of low-flying, manned agricultural aircraft," end quote. An Arkansas pipe manufacturer is suing Summit Carbon Solutions for $15 million. Summit wants to build a carbon dioxide pipeline system in multiple Midwestern states. The lawsuit filed by Wellspun Tubular says Summit hired the company to produce 785 miles of pipe starting in May 2023 at a cost of $183 million. However, Summit's pipeline network is scheduled to cover 2,500 miles in five states, but has taken longer than expected to get approval. Summit says construction may begin in early 2025. An agreement allowed Summit to delay pipe production for up to 6 months until November of 2023. Wellspun notified Summit it would proceed with pipeline production in February, but Summit eventually canceled the agreement. The Nebraska Examiner says state regulators in North and South Dakota have rejected the company's initial pipeline routes. The Iowa Utilities Board is poised to decide whether to issue the company a permit. The University of Illinois Farm Policy News says Iowa farmers told officials that they should block the sale of the Iowa Fertilizer Company to Koch Industries. The sale is worth $3.6 billion. Farmers attending the Iowa Farmers Union's listening session told Lena Kahn, the Federal Trade Commission chair, that consolidation is already squeezing their slim profit margins. The plant, located in southeast Iowa, received approximately $45 million in local, state, and federal economic development incentives and tax benefits over a decade ago to encourage the plant's construction. Farmers point out that the acquisition would be the latest in a series of mergers and consolidations that have limited the number of companies they could purchase farm supplies and equipment from and sell livestock and crops. Now, four companies currently account for 75% of the nation's supply of nitrogen. Kahn didn't say whether the FTC is investigating the Iowa Fertilizer Company sale. Well, the last couple of years have seen outbreaks of highly pathogenic avian influenza in the spring and fall as temperatures change. However, this year has seen an unusual outbreak of the virus among dairy cattle. Barrett Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, provides an update.
We've seen some positive cases pop up in dairy cattle. And this is a developing situation. This is just changing. Sometimes it's day by day, sometimes it's hour by hour. But what we do know so far is that milk is safe to drink. So the positive tests in dairy cattle showed up around 3 weeks ago. Since then, we're at about 30 different dairy premises showing positive cases in 8 different states.
Nelson says the impacts on the cattle have been minimal so far.
There have been no deaths that are attributed directly to avian influenza. There is some comorbidity happening where it seems if the symptoms of avian influenza are accompanied by other issues. So there's some comorbidity happening. Overall, we're seeing a 20 to 30% decrease in milk production as a result of a slowdown in food and water intake. Any milk from these animals is thrown out, so it's not allowed to enter the supply chain, and animals are recovering after a couple of weeks.
And he wants consumers to know that milk remains safe to drink.
Number one, their milk is safe to drink. Spit cows are pulled out of the herd, so their milk is not allowed to enter the supply chain. Further, pasteurization kills both bacteria and viruses. This includes high path avian influenza, so their milk is safe to drink.
And again, that's Barrett Nelson of the American Farm Bureau Federation. And finally, here today on the program, milk production in the 24 major states during March totaled 18.8 billion pounds, down 0.9% from March of 2023. February revised production at 17.4 billion pounds was up 2.9% from February of last year. The February revision represented an increase of about 82 million pounds or 0.5% from last month's preliminary production estimate. Adjusting the February production for the additional day due to the leap year causes February's revised production to be down 0.7% on a per-day basis. Now, production per cow in the major states averaged 2,115 pounds for March, 3 pounds below March of 2023. The number of milk cows on farms in the 24 major states was 8.88 million head, 71,000 less than in March of last year, and 7,000 head less than February of this year. Milk production during the January-March quarter totaled 56.9 billion pounds, up 0.1% from 2023, and the average number of milk cows during the quarter totaled 9.33 million head. And with that, we are out of time here on this episode of American Ag Today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to listen into part of a recent conversation I had with AgriGold agronomist Stephen Heitschu in southern Indiana. He's talking about the power of the shovel when it comes to early crop scouting and especially taking a look at that root establishment in your cornfields. We'll listen to that coming up tomorrow here on American Ag Today. The program produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.